It's good to be here, and the reason I like to walk around a bit is I get extra steps on my phone. If I keep walking, it adds them up, and it's good news, really. It makes it look really good at the end of the day. It's good to be here, and it's nice to be able to celebrate the new year still. I mean, we aren't too far in the new year, and I hope we can continue to think about all the opportunities that the Lord will give us as the year goes by. So we come to worship, we come to read a few verses from Psalm 145, which goes like this. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He is kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. For the Lord will hear the cry of those who fear him. He will hear their cry. Yes, he will hear them, and he will save. For the Lord keeps those who he loves. We thank God for his promises and his word. And we come now and sing what is really a sermon in itself, at the hymn At the Name of Jesus. I believe there's five verses. And so we pray together. Lord, we gather this morning to offer you praise and worship. We come because we do live busy and sometimes distracted lives. And we come this morning to focus on you, to place ourselves once again in your will, and to seek your blessing on the days that lie ahead. We thank you for the new year and the opportunities that a new year brings. We know in some senses that the old year's problems continue with us and the world in which we live. And yet we come also with a sense of anticipation, as we do indeed look forward to your purposes and your plans. We believe, Lord, you have a purpose for us. We believe, Lord, you have plans for us. We believe, Lord, that our lives are in your hands, that things don't just happen at random, that you do indeed call into being this and that, that you watch over us day and night, that you do not let our feet slip. You do not sleep or not bother with us. You continue, Lord, to pursue us and to watch over us day after day. Lord, forgive us that we fail you and fall short. Forgive us, Lord, that the things we did wrong last year, we've continued in this year to let you down. And yet, Lord, we do come this morning and ask your gracious mercy and forgiveness in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when we do walk by on the other side. Forgive us, Lord, when we just don't bother sometimes, when we forget to read your word, or we drift away from your purpose and your love for us. We make our own decisions, and we think, Lord, that somehow we've graduated, as it were, to that place where we can decide for ourselves and make our own plans. Lord, forgive us for these things. And as we come to you this morning, wash us clean. Prepare us, we pray, for the things you have for us. Help us to be willing to put ourselves in your hands and to wait your time and to give ourselves to your purposes. So hear our prayers, Lord, for ourselves, for our neighbours and friends, and for this church to which we belong and to which we love. We ask you to hear our prayers because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is the name we honour. We're going to stand and sing. It's a strange time of year, isn't it? And friends of mine, number of friends of mine, have had birthdays over Christmas. Now, they tell me they don't like having birthdays around Christmas, but there's not much you can do about it, is there? I mean, you can do like my sister, who's got a birthday in December, and she went to live in New Zealand, so now she gets warm weather rather than cold, which is probably quite nice. But I'll just tell you what happened last week. We went to a friend of mine's birthday party, and of course, this time of year, it's quite cold, so you can't sit outside, and there's about 23 people turned up. And we got into this lounge, and it really isn't big enough for 23 people. And you can imagine there's not 23 seats. So it's a bit of a mess, really, but for some reason, he got his sister-in-law to bring some chairs with her. Now, what she didn't say was the chairs she brought with her were flat packs from IKEA, and she hadn't made them up. So she brought these kitchen... There were six kitchen chairs. And so as people came through the door, she started making chairs for them. So as they walked through, oh, we need some more chairs. So she'd go and get this flat pack, and she'd open it. In the middle of the floor were 23 people. Well, not 23, by the end there was 23, but initially there was only about 18 of us. So we sat around, and they kept opening these packs. And you know what these packs are like? This box of screws falls out, and then this box of whatevers fall out. And they're all over the floor, and you start... What you should do is make sure all the bits are there, shouldn't you? And the second thing you should do, or the first thing you should do, is read the instructions. But in both cases, neither were done. Okay, we just started. And of course, it all goes very well until you realise that you've put the 2-inch screw where a 1.5-inch screw should go, and you've got to take them all out and start again. But the good news was, on each occasion, we only made 4 chairs rather than 6 in the end, but on each occasion, there was just enough screws, just enough nuts, just enough of everything to make these chairs. And there they stood at the end. We didn't get them finished till everybody had left, to be honest. A bit of a waste of time, but the whole thing was quite bizarre. But it just made me think about these flat packs and some of the way I've behaved over the years. One, I'm not very good at reading instructions. Two, I'm not very good at doing what it tells me. And three, I have a tendency to put the wrong thing in the wrong hole. And you end up in a mess because you've got to take them out and start again because it isn't long enough to get the 2 nuts on that you need to. And I just thought to myself, you know, as we come to start a new year, as we begin our Christian life again, as it were, as I believe we do every day, we start a Christian life every day, do we not? We start from scratch. We make our friendship with God and we seek his peace and we seek his guidance and direction. I suddenly realise that we do have all we need. We have instructions we don't listen to. And we have everything, and I believe this, and I'm going to talk about this a bit later on, we have everything in our lives that we need to do what God wants us to do. And you may not believe that. You may sit there and think, if only I had X or Y or Z, then I could be a much better Christian. The Bible tells us that we have everything we need to live the life that God wants us to. And to deny that and to refuse that and to want to even win the lottery, for instance, is to deny that God's able to give you all you need to live out your life. So let's continue this year to trust him and to rely on him and to believe as we open up each day that there's enough in that day for us to do. There's not going to be anything left over, but there's enough there for us, if we listen to read the instructions aright, to do all that we should do. And hopefully, like John Wesley, we can go to bed at night and we can be content that we've done his will. May God bless us as we move through this new year. Let's pray. Father God, we pause and pray. We pause because we live in a difficult and demanding world. And we pause, Lord, also because you ask us. You delight in hearing our voice. You know what we need. You know our situation. You know the problems. But you delight to allow us to discuss with you and to call on you and to put our trust in you. And so we do that this morning. We call on you and believe, Lord, that you are with us. We believe, Lord, that you want the best for us. We believe, Lord, that you do hear our prayers and that you do respond to those requests that we make. We consider so many people who you met in the scriptures, who you walked past, people like blind Bartimaeus, who called out to you and you stopped and you paused. And you answered his prayer. Lord, we come this morning also, and we would apprehend you as you pass by. We would invite you into our lives, and we would seek a blessing upon our lives, the lives of our families, the life of this church, of our town, and the world in which we live. Lord, bless those who are unwell this morning. Bless those who can't be here due to ill health. Be with those who are just looking after themselves a bit this time of year when it's cold, and when colds can indeed turn nasty. We pray, Lord, too, for those who have been bereaved in recent days, and we ask a blessing upon those who miss loved ones, particularly those who have struggled over the Christmas season with a gap in their lives. We pray, Lord, for this church and its life and its work. We thank you for the deacons and those who lead us. We thank you for Susan, who's our moderator. We thank you, Lord, for all that goes on here week by week, for the opportunities we have to meet together. Not always to read the Bible, but sometimes just to chat and support one another in the ways that we do. We thank you, Lord, for these chances, these opportunities that you give us. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to move and work amongst us. Lord, draw people into us. Bless those who pass our doors. May we continue to be a light in a dark world. We pray, Lord, also for our town and for our nation, for those who lead us and have responsibility for us. Lord, give wisdom, we pray. May we be governed with justice and mercy and integrity. We pray, Lord, for those who lead us internationally, and we are very conscious of the chaos that we sometimes see as we turn our televisions on, of the difficulties that suddenly confront us, and situations we didn't even know were difficult suddenly appear to us on our screens with chaos and fighting and dislocation. But we do pray for all who seek to bring help and healing and blessing in these places. We pray for those who we would call missionaries, people who work as doctors or teachers or whatever in these difficult parts of the world, that you would give to them strength. And we continue to pray for our own link missionaries. We do pray, Lord, for Mark and Andrea as they seek to do your will. And we pray particularly for Mark's health, that it may be up to standard to do the things he has to do in the future. We pray for the street pastors. We're very conscious of the cold night that it was last night and the difficulties of working on the streets. And we ask a blessing on those who do indeed serve the town in that way on an evening, on a Saturday evening. We pray too for the food bank. I was speaking to Jane last week as she runs the food bank, and we recognise the busyness it is and the difficulty at this time of the year and the need that people have for decent meals. And we pray a blessing on those who seek to be discerning in giving food to those who need and not just want. Lord, we pray a blessing and a wisdom for those who lead the food bank. So, Lord, hear our prayers. Hear those quiet and silent prayers for each of our hearts that we pray regularly for those particular concerns that we have. But hear the prayers too that we've prayed for the church and for the world, and bring about your purposes. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read now from the Bible. I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 to 8. I've never preached much on Peter. You think with my name you might have done so, but I don't much preach on Peter. But let's just see what he has to say. Peter and John, particularly these letters in the back of the Bible, you do get the feeling that they really were people who'd seen Jesus. They'd walked 3 years with Jesus. And you can't spend 3 years in someone's company without picking up some of their traits. My daughter says she's got a friend at work who comes from Birmingham, and by the time they finish speaking, she's also got a Brummie accent, which worries her a bit, really. But that's only after 10 minutes. You can't spend 3 years with somebody without collecting some of their traits and finding out who they are and what they love. Simon Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful statement. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of him. For we are called by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given to us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate. I do like that. Participate in God's divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Is that not our main prayer, that we are effective and productive? And we have the answer here, how to do that. So may God bless us as we look at these words in a few moments' time. But for the moment, we're going to sing, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." Let's just pray. Lord, we desire to hear your word. We desire to do your will. We desire, Lord, that you would prompt us this morning. And we ask, Lord, somehow you will speak to us and we will not forget your plans, your purposes, and your will. Lord, bless us as we seek to be your true disciples in these days. Amen. So there's a lay preacher, and lay preaching is one of those strange things that some people do, and it has its own sort of vagaries about it. It's got its own things that happen. So this preacher went with his to a village church, and he got there, and he had his son with him, and he went in, and they got there a bit early. And it isn't difficult to get early to a village church, 10 minutes early, and there's no one there. And he got there a few minutes early, and they stood and looked in the vestibule, as you do when you go to a village church, and they read the notice sheet, things you might pray for, and they. The father and the son, they looked at this box that said, "Please give generously to the church work here." So the chap decided he would give generously. I know you give generously as you come in church here, and Judy's already prayed for that money. So he takes his wallet out and he looks at his wallet, 5, 10 or 20 pounds. What do you think he ought to give? Well, he's a bit mean, he gives 5, puts it in the box, and he goes and preaches. And the service happens, and it's great, and it's a good service, and he's quite pleased with himself, as many lay preachers tend to be at the end of the service. You're going home, you're never going to see the people again for a week, so it's okay, isn't it? And then you get to the front door, and the treasurer meets you. And the treasurer's always a bit, in some village churches, the treasurer's always a bit difficult. It's always a difficult conversation. He said, "We have a policy in this church," he said. We give our minister expenses, and we always... open the box at the front of the door and give him whatever's in the box. That's the policy. So the gentleman opened the box and out took a £5 note and gave it to the preacher, and the preacher went home. And as they got in the car, the son said, "Daddy," said, "if you'd have given more, you'd have got more expenses." Interesting thought, isn't it? If you'd have given more, you'd have got more back. And it's an interesting thought, perhaps, as we seek to live out our lives and give ourselves to God, to make sure we're not too mean and ungrateful, and to make sure that we do give to God, because he's a generous God. So we come to this chapter in 2 Peter, and I just want to just briefly cover this wonderful picture that he gives us of God giving us all we need in Jesus Christ. We're not lacking anything. And Peter really says to his listeners, what have you got? What's your gift? You know, I can't play the piano, as you probably know. Well, I've got a wonderful picture of me playing the guitar recently, but I'm not playing, I'm just pretending. But it looks really good in the picture. It looks like I'm Neil Diamond, actually. But you know, it's what have you got? What's available? And we think about perhaps in my own house, I don't know about you, but last night we came to have supper and we hadn't got anything planned. And so we sort of, what have we got? We're not going out tonight to get something. We're going to find what we've got in the freezer or in the pantry, as they used to call it, and eat what's there. And we made ourselves a supper. And that's what you do sometimes. You make yourself something from what you've got. And as you start looking at the scriptures, you realize there were so many examples. When the disciples had 5,000 people to feed, Jesus turns around to them and says, what have you got? And they only happened to have a dinner of a child, 5 loaves and 2 small fish. That's all they have. But it's enough with Jesus to provide for those 5,000. Or take that time when the woman in the Old Testament, she was going to have her sons taken away in slavery because she was in debt. Her husband had died. She had bills to pay. And Elijah, or was it Elisha? I always forget which one it was. I think it was Elisha. Elisha says to her, what have you got? And she says, I've just got a little bit of oil in a bottle. That's all I've got. And he says, well, go and pick up some vessels, get some tubs, and start, shut the door, and with your son, start pouring that oil into the vessels. And she does so, and as she pours, the oil continues to pour, and she fills all the vessels she's got in the kitchen. And when she's got no more empty vessels, the oil stops running. And Elisha says, now go and sell the oil, pay your debts, and be a good mum to your boys. And so what she had was sufficient. 10 lepers need a miracle. 10 lepers come to Jesus. And Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priests. Use your legs. Use the bit of health you have got and go and show yourself to the priests, as was required of lepers in those days if they were healed. And when they got to the priests, they were healed. I know only one man went back and said thank you, but that's a little bit of an addition to the story. But the fact is that they had good health in their legs, and they went and they walked and they trusted and they believed. They had sufficient to bring healing to their lives. And so we come this morning and we recognise in this passage we are seeing a God who looks at us, and he has given us enough. He's given us a faith and a hope and a confidence. He's given us grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. He's given us the ability to have sins forgiven. I mean, we've just celebrated, no doubt, here in the church. You've had the baby Jesus in the manger, and you've had the angels and the shepherds, and we've remembered that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to forgive sin, to cleanse us from sin, to restore us, to give us that friendship with God which enables us to have sufficient. I mean, you know, when children, you were a child, you went on holiday, you didn't consider whether or not there was going to be enough money to get petrol to get there or to get back or to buy ice cream. You just went and took and enjoyed each day. And isn't that not what we're called to do as children of our Heavenly Father? To enjoy each day, to allow him to provide us with opportunities and blessings. To live as children of God and to live in confidence and relationship with him, walking hand in hand with him day by day. There's a story in Matthew 25 of three men who were given talents, gifts. One was given five, one was given two, and one was given one talent. And the man who was given one talent, he was lazy, he couldn't be bothered. I don't quite know why he didn't go and invest the money, but he certainly was cross that the others had got more. He was disappointed in himself for various reasons. He was a bit lazy and didn't really want to go and make an effort. So he buries it in the ground and lives as though he hasn't got this gift. And when the master comes, there's a difficult conversation that he's had. Because he's not bothered. He's not invested. He's not used wisely. He's gone off and lived as he wanted to. And I think this morning, as we look at our lives, perhaps we've got to ask ourselves, are we using the gifts God has given us? What is your gift? What has God given you? And we have to ask ourselves, what is he calling us to do and to be in the year 2026? It's an opportunity for us to use wisely what he has given us. And God expects a return on what he has given. I've just come back from, I've been a week in Felixstowe. It's a strange place to go this time of year, because when it's sort of -2 or -3 and feels like -8 every day, it's not the sort of time you want to walk up and down the seafront. But do you know what? I've really enjoyed myself. And I think it's a case of wearing the right clothes, really, rather than going to the right place. And I have really enjoyed myself. And one of the things I like about Felixstowe is, as you drive from my bed and breakfast down to Felixstowe, all the fields on either side of the road, the A14, were my brother-in-law's fields. They were 1,100 acres where he used to farm when he was living in this country. And as you drive down, you're interested in what's in the fields, what's growing. You see broccoli and cauliflowers, you see activity still taking place. And you remember the things he used to do. He had he also worked on a farm nearby where he had 600 acres of carrots. You can't imagine 600 acres of carrots. But he had these things. I remember one year he grew 130,000 cauliflowers for Sainsbury's, and they came out and looked at the field and said, well, they're not very nice shape. And they wouldn't buy them off him. So he ploughed them back in. The field, he couldn't do anything with them. And I just like the fact that you can see evidence of growth and activity and work in those fields around the A14 at those last few miles over the Orwell Bridge and towards Felixstowe. It's just a reminder to us of the way in which we are called to use wisely and well what God gives to us, the opportunities that we have. It's not always easy work, and farming is not easy. But it's work that does indeed bring a blessing and a benefit to the community. For God's word can be depended upon. We call to participate. I do love that word. To participate in his divine nature, which gives us the escape route from this corrupt world. I don't know whether you feel like that, but I do need an escape route. This world is an absolute chaos. And we do need to have an escape route. And I'm fairly confident, I am confident, that God has given us his divine nature. And one day, if we're patient, like Lot was patient living in Sodom and Gomorrah, God will come and take us and protect us and lift us and carry us. If you go to a barn dance, the music starts playing, you've got to get up, haven't you? Even people like me who are grumpy get up, because they come round, don't they? Make you, don't they? They make you get up and dance. And you don't always want to, and you're not always very keen, and you've got a bad leg or whatever you've got, but they make you dance. And you know what? When you finish dancing, usually, and I think most of the times I've been to barn dances, I've always danced, though I didn't intend to, and I've always enjoyed it. And it's always a good evening. I always come away saying, I must do that again. But I very rarely do, because it's hard work. But barn dances are those times when you really do get asked to participate. And we're called to participate in God's life, in God's work. And some theologians call God's relationship with mankind a dance. He calls us to dance together, to live our lives in his presence, to participate in his divine nature, and to add to our faith. To not just stand still, but to grow in goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance, in brotherly kindness and in love for others. This is something that develops and grows. It's a staircase that leads us, if you like, to heaven itself. These qualities grow just as seeds grow in the garden. We can't make our seeds grow. We can't will them to grow. We can't just stand there and look at them and make them grow. All we have to do is clear the ground and water them and make sure that there's space for the growth. And that's what we have to do in our lives, to clear our lives of sin and mess and distraction, and allow God to bring growth and blessing. A few weeks ago, my nephew came to stay with us. He's in the New Zealand SAS, and he's quite a character. He's in his 30s, and he spends a lot of time over in Ukraine, but I can't tell you that. But in fact, he said he'd have to shoot me and he has got a gun, so he might. But he's in the New Zealand SAS, and he came to this country, and he came on his English passport, because when he does SAS stuff, he goes on his New Zealand passport. And he came for a holiday to see his girlfriend's parents, because I think he wants to get married to her, and he wanted to ask for her hand. So he came over, and when he came to go home to New Zealand, because he had a British passport, they wouldn't let him back in. He got to Heathrow Airport, and they banned him from going to New Zealand, because he's a British citizen. So he wasn't allowed to go back to New Zealand. So he had to come and stay with us. He rang me up and said, can I come and stay with you, because I can't get back to New Zealand. I've got to get a visa, and it's going to take me 4 days and cost me £1,000, which is what he had to do. He came back and spent 2 days on his computer getting sorted out. So anyway, he got himself sorted out. But what I found quite interesting was, he's in the New Zealand SAS, and he was here on holiday. Every morning when I got up, I woke up at 7:30, he'd already gone out for his morning run. He runs 5K before breakfast every day, 5 kilometres every day before breakfast. And he does that every day. And I said to him, David, you're on holiday. What are you doing this for? He says, well, he said, the trouble is, when you're in the SAS, they can ask you to do a fitness test at any time. They can ask you to do something at any time. They can say, stop, right, today you'll be testing you. And you've got to go and run whatever and do this, that and the other. And if you fail that test, he says, then you're out. They say, they do usually give you one more chance, and they give you a week or so, and then they come back and test you again. But if you fail that test, you have to walk out the door. You're no longer a member of the SAS. Anyway, in order to get back to New Zealand, he had to book, not only did he have to book a flight, another flight to New Zealand on his British passport, but he had to book a flight out of New Zealand into Australia, because you aren't allowed to go to New Zealand on a visa unless you're planning to leave. And you have to prove you're also leaving. So that's part of the cost of the £1,000. So a week later, he sent me a picture of him. He'd gone to a hotel in Sydney, in Australia, just to deal with this issue. Because he couldn't say he was a New Zealand citizen, because he couldn't get involved with the military. He needed to keep what he's doing secret. So he then sent me a text the following week, and he said, here's a picture of me doing my 5K run around Sydney, the Sydney Opera House. And here's a picture of him with the Opera House in the background. And I thought to myself, there he is, in a place where you might not want to do too much, running still to keep his fitness up. And I think to myself, as I think about David and his time in the SAS, I just think to myself, why aren't I like that as a Christian? Why don't I see myself as on duty all the time? Why don't I make sure I'm fit and active and available So often does Paul use the illustrations of soldiers. Does he not use the armour you need to put on, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the word? And he uses all these illustrations. He reminds us how we need to be ready for duty. We are called, and we're called into service. And we sing hymns, do we not, about onward Christian soldiers? So we don't sing them anymore because they're a bit jingoistic, but we do. We did used to sing onward Christian soldiers marching us to war, and yet we've lost that edge. We've lost that dedication. If we were tested, we might not be allowed to be. I bet they'll just wave at Keith because he's watching us, you know. He's watching us. He's not here, he's still watching. And so I will wave at Keith. But, you know, we're in a situation where we. He's waving back. he's waving back. I mean, you imagine if Keith gave you a Christian test one Sunday and said, right, you and you, come over here, we'll just test your Christian faith. And if you don't come up to the standard, you'll be out. No longer church members. You can't believe it could happen. I'm a bit worried now, I've given ideas. If Keith turns up with a clipboard next week and comes towards you, run, okay? Run 5K. But it's just this thought, isn't it, that we're a bit sloppy. And I mean, my son stood next to me yesterday. He said, Dad, he said, I put on a stone over Christmas. I've eaten 5 Toblerones and 4 pounds of cheese. And I've not been anywhere and not done anything. And I've got to do something about it. And then he started eating cake. I said, so what's going on then, Sam? He says, well, he says, you don't go on a diet in January, do you? Because it's too cold. I'm going to wait till February. So on the 1st of February, things are going to change, apparently. But are those sort of people who are committed to service and activity, to recognise, to really uncover the gifts God has given us? That's what we're doing, isn't it? My son-in-law's lost 3 stone. He's on one of these jab things. And he's uncovering who he is. Do you know what I mean? We're suddenly seeing him for what he is. And it's amazing to see the difference when you start changing your body shape, as it were. And I just think this morning, as we look at our lives, we need to uncover what God has given us. We need to make available to God what the gifts he has given to us. And to trust him and believe that what we have, even if it's only 5 loaves and 2 fish, is enough. We have enough. We have enough in this church to bless the community. We have enough in our lives to be the people that God has called us to be. So how are we using our gifts? I want to finish. Some years ago, we put in wheelie bins in Kettringbury Council. It's one of those things that, one of those very few things I can point to, and I actually did when I worked for the council. Because when you work for the council, a lot of the things you do, you can't see. And some people say you don't do that much, but that's a separate argument entirely. But we bought some wheelie bins. We put the wheelie bin system in, and it was we were required to buy 37,000 wheelie bins, black bins. We bought these bins, and about 6 months after buying them, there was we put the rounds in slowly. But about 6 months after buying them, the chap who ran the local tip said to us, you know, every morning at 7:30 when we open the tip doors, there's a gentleman here in his mid-70s, and he turns up and he's standing at the gate waiting to have the door open. And as he walks in, he's got his sack of rubbish. Every day he comes in with a sack of rubbish. And he puts that rubbish in the skip. And so we said to him, why is it you're bringing rubbish in? You've got new wheelie bins. He said, well, he said, me and my wife like the new wheelie bin, but we don't want to get it dirty. We don't want it to look nasty. And it is completely and utterly pristine. In 6 months, we've never used it. I bring this rubbish in every day, so I haven't got to use the wheelie bin. Interesting story, isn't it? True. True story. And I think to myself, you know, how often are we the same? I mean, we have things in our lives, sins and mess that we need to deal with. And we need to deal with it. But how often do we deal with it rather than using Jesus, who God has provided as a perfect sacrifice for our sins? Why is it we refuse to go through God's methods? Why is it this man wouldn't use the council wheelie bin? That's what a bin's for, to get dirty, to take the rubbish. That's what Jesus is here for, to take our sins. Why is it we don't want to trouble him with our sins? Why is it we're embarrassed to deal with our sins? Why is it we don't want to admit we're not very good stewards And we wouldn't pass the test of being church members. Why don't we seek God's forgiveness and grace? Why don't we go through God's methods and God's work? Because God's given us all that we need to live out our lives. He's given us sufficient, and he's dealt with our sins. He deals with our sins. He wants us to deal with them, and he wants us to stand before him daily, forgiven, cleansed, prepared, and ready. And so often we duck and we dive and we make excuses and we go our own way and we do our own things. But God does deal with our sins. We need to admit and be honest and realistic. And Jesus doesn't just come every 2 weeks to the refuse freighter and take away our sins. He comes every day and does it. He comes every day and forgives us. He comes every day and cleans us out and sorts us and blesses us. May we trust him and believe in him and do things in his way. These are the instructions. And the world in which we live is getting messy, but the Bible said it would. The Bible predicted what we're seeing. Arrogance and selfishness and strife and pride and wars and famines. All these things are well predicted. And Jesus says, just trust me. Live and trust me. Exude my energy, my blessing. Be people who continue to participate in my divine nature and to bless those around you. So may God help us as we continue in this new year to allow his ways, to read our instruction booklet and to put things in the right places and not to keep doing things our way, and to trust that God will build something that is useful for our community and our world. And let's be honest, he's preparing us not just for this world, but for all he has planned in the world to come. May God bless us as we seek to be his disciples in this year. Amen. Put away the book, Keith. Don't come check it. Right, we're going to sing our final hymn, which is one of my favourite hymns, I cannot tell. And I just thought we'd sing this as we close our service this morning. Danny boy, thank you. Danny boy. And so, Lord, we ask that you would look upon our lives with favour and show to each of us your grace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, come and rest and remain with us, with those we love, and with those we should love, now and forever.